Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart, now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities who tell their stories about their business journey and also share helpful insights about the successes that they've had.
Did you know that 2 in 5 Americans want to start a new business or are business owners? Well, we have lots of information to help them, too.
And we also talk a little about the intellectual property that helps them flourish.
Now we want to go into the medical minute. This is a new segment that we put in the show. And it's really cool because we have Dr. Puma here. We have Diane here who invests in different companies. And I want to talk a little bit about some new research that's happening using AI that's very exciting. So Dr. Puma knew all about this. I never heard of this place. The Wellcome Sanger Institute in the UK. Can you talk about where they came from?
Sure. The Wellcome Sanger Institute is a nonprofit, and it's essentially the nonprofit arm of, was it Harry or Henry Wellcome, who was kind of the UK's version of the Pfizer brothers here in the United States. It's now, in this iteration, GlaxoSmithKline. It was sold to. But he was a pharmaceutical entrepreneur, invented different compounds, and the Sanger Institute that they fund is working on the human genome.
Right, and it's really interesting. So they're using AI now to predict, design, and engineer biological sequences such as DNA and proteins. Right now they're mapping 1.6 million gut cells to find new ways to treat disease.
Looking at each one individually.
But what I ran across was this blog post they did, the way they're using AI now is they combine 25 data sets. So I think in the past, you would have had to have like a huge computer and take up many rooms to bring that much data together in one place. You could actually work with it and analyze it. And now they're using AI. And so they've brought together 25 data sets and they've created the largest cohesive cell atlas of the human gut and uncovered a new way that stomach cells may play a role in inflammatory bowel diseases. Just fascinating. And when I was reading through the article, the blog post on this, they actually had a link to this atlas. So like anybody can go look at it, which I thought was really generous, I guess I should say.
Yeah, sort of like the human genome, right? Where they just kind of published the library and made it available for everybody. Why not do that for the gut biome too, right? What I think is so interesting is the gut biome is now being appreciated for all of the impacts that it has on human health. And so understanding this, I think, is going to be a major step forward in health generally, right? I mean, right. We had Martin Blaser and his wife, Maria Gloria Dominguez, on the program. They did that Netflix film called The Invisible Extermination. And they talked about how all of the studies that they did for the human biome showed that health deteriorated when people received too much in terms of antibiotics. The antibiotics would destroy the gut biome. It would rebuild itself, but it would do it in a way that was not as healthy. And diseases in general became more prevalent, and especially with younger children, underserved communities, people who had received too many antibiotics over the course of their life had higher incidences of obesity and heart disease and diabetes. And it's a really big problem now because physicians are so used to treating with antibiotics. It's just a standard treatment. And unfortunately, Dr. Blaser did not feel especially optimistic because there's really no way to control the prescription of these drugs because people expect them and doctors want to prescribe them.
Well, it's amazing what's happening. Now, this is what you would say is AI for good or technology for good, because there's a big debate. And ethically, there's a big debate. Morally, there's a good debate. However, if we go back 25, 30 years when the Human Genome Project was first being capitalized and taking place, right? Before the human genome was actually mapped, I remember being a young attending physician, and we had this promise of targeted therapies for patients based on their genomics. And now you look in 2024, guess what? We have targeted therapies for different cancers. We have lung cancer survival rates now because of biologics that come from information from the Human Genome Project, right? You know, you have 40, 50% five-year survival rates. It used to be 80% one-year mortality rates.
Yes.
You know, the same thing for psoriasis, eczema, biologics to treat these diseases now. So I think the promise, you know, from a large scale, is making people live longer and feel better. Again, the two things we can do with targeted biologic therapy. But, you know, especially diseases like sickle cell now, we finally have, through genomics, targeted therapy for sickle cell disease, which is a devastating disease, but for a small population, right? There's
right.
probably 100,000 people that have it. So they're a great promise. I know the gut's important, but the process that they used, if they can now apply it to different areas,
right,
what the applicability might be. So I think it's an outstanding, truly amazing. 20 years from now, we may not be taking pills for anything. We may be getting injectables. You know, who knows? I'm hoping in my lifetime, no one needs bypass surgery again.
I hope so. You know, when you talk about these different illnesses that people have, I love watching Mystery Diagnosis. And I'm like, I didn't even know that could happen to a person, right? Like having this kind of knowledge to be able to use is amazing.
So, Diane, do you have any thoughts about AI and medical technology?
I want to focus it back on Dr. Joseph Puma. I think his technology is incredible. 3 minutes, three-minute scan. And what you guys have achieved, I'm curious, you know, two questions. How will the role of AI shape and create a big opportunity for investors for your technology?
You know, the companies that develop the AI usually have a pretty strong IP firewall. And that's why I'm not sure that government's going to play. These are places where politics may not play a role, except for the fact that politics has the purse strings, okay? Because now all these health systems work for the government. But, you know, what is AI essentially? But A, accumulated knowledge, and then B, you know, running the possibilities over and over again. So I believe we'll come up with targeted therapies that we would have never thought of before. It would have taken hundreds of years to keep doing if we do the scientific method, test it, fail, test it differently, you know, that kind of thing. And B, the speed at which we do it. I also believe it'll get healthcare to communities that otherwise would never get healthcare. Right now we go on Google. And everyone puts their symptom in, take my word for it. They show up in the office and Google said.
guilty. Right.
I mean, Google has ruined most doctors' life and mine. But I think what we'll find is that today's search engines are blunt objects. And once we get through several iterations of AI, in addition to technologies and advancements in therapies, we're going to find that the AI will be a surgical tool in helping patients get diagnosis and treatment.
Incredible. I love how you're ahead of the curve in envisioning AI, whether it be AI, machine learning. What will it take for you to dominate the market and be the lead?
Sometimes being first to market isn't always the best, even though people think it's the best. But we've had several years now to understand the pitfalls, understand the costs associated. Initially, Richard, I would say the Cerner Heart Scan was a lost leader to bring people into the practice, to be quite honest with. It took us a while to figure out. But once we figured it out, it now gives us the ability to scale, which now gives us the ability to contract with vendors that we need for it to bring costs down or to get them to look at it differently. So I think at this point, it's a financing issue. That's really all it is. It's a financing issue and a build-out issue.
What other applications of artificial intelligence have you seen in the medical field? Have you been exposed to?
Oh, it's limitless. I think right now you see in gastroenterology, for instance, AI assessment of diagnoses when you have an endoscopy. There's AI software that actually will evaluate those images. And for every biopsy that goes with an image, it's continued machine learning. You know, the biggest dermatology practice in the U.S. now is basically a private equity roll-up. And the way they scale that practice is by no longer going to the doctor, by AI software on your iPhone, and by visual telemed visits. So if you have a mole now, you take a picture, you upload it, and the AI makes the diagnosis.
Wow.
So
that's a huge advancement.
Yeah, it's limitless. We take a picture of your heart, and without having to put a catheter in anymore. Remember, I'm a catheterizer by training.
Right.
And I'm basically making myself obsolete because the AI software, through that image, can give us plaque, can give us blockage, can give us flow, you know, things that traditionally we had to do invasive procedures for. We have AI software now. I was at a dental conference in Knoxville, and there's a surgeon that treats patients. He's down in Houston, but he do these reconstructions of their jaw where their jaw was kind of retrograde and causing obstruction to the airway. I'm saying in very simplistic ways, and he'll laugh if he hears this. Okay, but it used to take him 8 hours to do the surgery because of the complexity of the 3D assessment, you know, and his inability to do anything but very crude drawings of what he was going to do and how he was going to get there. He now has an AI-powered software that has taken an 8-hour operation down to 45 minutes because of the way it reconstructs the anatomy for him. And so he could just get right into the OR now, and he knows exactly where to go and what to do. So the applications are limitless. It's particularly limitless on the diagnostic side, Richard, on CT scanning and MRI, which is all software analysis, right?
Right. I would say on the flip side, the issues with the ever-growing AI in the medical industries and other industries, you know, specifically, I would say, is data privacy security concerns. You have integration into clinical workflows and regulatory and ethical challenges.
Right. The privacy thing, I think, is huge because everybody wants your data, and you hope they just really honestly keep it anonymous and just stick it in a bucket with other data. So that's the hard part,
well,
right?
AI relies on a training set. It relies on a large amount of data to train itself to get the best results. So as far as privacy goes, we're giving up some privacy for better medical care.
I had my 23andMe done, and Richard's like, I'm never going to have that done. I don't want to give that
back. I don't want anybody to have my DNA. I mean, I might want to commit a crime someday.
But I do think you bring up a good point. How do you make a huge database without an invasion of privacy?
Yeah, Diane, that's actually a great point. I didn't want to bring it up before, but if you go back to the Wellcome Sanger Institute, one of the challenges they're having now is some of that genome or DNA that they have obtained, they obtained without consent.
And that's most of AI now. I mean, at this point, most of the information
that's exactly right.
Without consent.
And in healthcare, consent
is everything.
Is paramount, right? We have the HIPAA laws, which is all about privacy. So that would be a challenge. However, there's a real promise. And unlike the promise of worrying about the robots taking over the world, AI in healthcare gives us great promise to improve our time on Earth, making us feel better and live longer.
Yeah, and my mother felt really, she swears it was from having the swine flu shot back in the 70s or whatever, but she felt sick her whole life. And so when she died, she donated her body to science. She's like, I hope they can finally figure out what the heck was wrong with me all these years. So she donated her body to science. And then we found out from one of the attorneys that used to work at Gearhart Law that there's like a repository for these cells and body parts in Europe that people go and get them from to do research on. So she gave her permission. Hopefully they could use it for something like this and figure out how to make us all healthier.
Yeah. And that was our medical minute.
That was quite a few minutes, but I thought that was a good discussion.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, and our studio assistant Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.